It's good to be with you. And you also, preacher. Try that one more time. It's good to be with you. And praise the Lord. If I figure one more time, and you are going to be so well-versed in this, you're going to be able to do it with no difficulty whatsoever. It is good to be in the Lord's house. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah 29. You know, I think about what the young lady said over there about witnessing. Sometimes when we try to witness, the world looks at us and they say, well, who do you think you are? And sometimes I think, well, you know, you're one of those holier-than-thou people. And most of the people that I meet, I know that I am holier than them. Don't you? So from now on, look at them and say, you best believe it. Quit apologizing. Just give them the gospel. Say, are you saved? If they look at you strangely, they say, that's what I thought. But good news, we can get her done right now. Join me in prayer. When I first went to work at Knox Community Hospital, I had a young nurse come up to me and she said, I want you to know, just because you're a preacher does not mean that I'm going to quit swearing every time I come around you. And I said, well, in that case, I'll have to continue to preach. She said, what does that mean? I said, well, if you're going to cuss, I'm going to tell you about somebody that loves you. And I said, so the more you cuss, the more I'll preach. She gave up, got saved, her and her husband, they both members of our church now. Confrontation is a good thing. And in our day, I got to tell you, we are in the strangest of times. We truly are. We don't know what's going to happen in North Korea. North Korea is doing everything that it can to make matters difficult and filled with fear everywhere. And of course, Russia is also rattling its sabers and trying its very best to spread fear and all kinds of distress. Then we've got China, which is supposed to be our ally in a situation that it's almost intenerable for them because they say to North Korea, we're not going to trade with you, and North Korea is their biggest trade partner, even more so than the United States. 90% of all the oil that they have goes to North Korea. So it is very difficult for them to say we're not, but all of these things are happening, and in the midst of this, Russia comes down to Iran and in Persia, Gog and Magog has a presence. There's a lot of things happening. But I want you to know, and I believe this with all of my heart, that nuclear war is not what's going to take me out. I'm waiting for the sound of a trumpet when the altogether lovely steps out of glory. And he says, arise, my love. Amen. That thrills me to know that my name is written down in God's Lamb's book of life, and I don't need to worry about all of those things because he said, I hold you in the hollow of my hand. I've got you, child, and I'll keep you in the time that is yet to come. The world is going to shake and it's going to rock and reel, but I want you to know that my word will stand when the world is on fire, and Jesus is the word, and I am in him and he is in me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. In the midst of this, God's got us. In Jeremiah, it says this in chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Starts off with, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster. I have planned to give you a future and a hope. Amen. And this is a verse that blesses me. It ought to bless you. If it didn't bless you, you need to get your blesser fixed before the night is over. It's a very popular verse in Scripture. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you probably heard or read somebody's given you this Scripture. God shows up at wonderful times, don't He? I remember a preacher one time by the name of Ed Ballou was talking about the fact that his mama used to pray all the time, and when his dad had a stroke, and I may have told you this, I don't care. Because all my stories are good. His dad had a stroke, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't have very much money back in those days at all, and his mother wasn't going to do anything because he had a stroke. And they said, well, you got to call the doctor. And she said, then what? Said, well, the doctor will come. Then she said, then what? Said, well, the doctor will fix it. Well, the doctor came. And the doctor said, there ain't a thing I can do. She said, that's what I thought. You know, those folks back in the day, they knew what they were doing. And so she told Ed, he was a young boy at the time, said, I want you to stay here by your daddy because I'm going to pray. And she said, Mama, or he said, Mama, I don't think you should leave Daddy. She said, I'm going to pray. She went outside and she had this little sagebrush that she used to get beside. And she'd pray there at the bush. And she began to pray. And after a little bit of time, she began to cry out a little bit. You know how they used to pray back in the day when they sung their prayers. Some of you probably remember it when they used to get down and, oh, Lord. Huh? I mean, they get down to business. They begin to tremble down there. Well, Lord. You know how they was. Get that handkerchief going. She's praying. And he said, I got some mad at my mama. My dad has had a stroke. He can't do anything. He's laying in the bed. And mom's having a great old church meeting on the outside someplace. And I don't see any justice in this. And I don't see anything fair about it. And I'm mad and I'm angry. And he said, and then after a little while, she started shouting. She got up above that little bush. And she's shouting the victory of God. And he said, my daddy has got a stroke. And my mother's out there shouting. He said, about that time, daddy grabbed me by the shoulder and said, is that your mama shouting, boy? Let me tell you something. God is on the throne and Christ is still the Lord, and God can still hear us when we call out and say, Father, I have a need. I need to hear from heaven. I want to feel your presence, God, around me. The world is trying to destroy me, but God said, I've got you. That's a verse that blesses us. Amen. God knows what He thinks about us. He thinks of peace, not of evil. God's got some good news and some good plans for your future. And I believe with all of my heart that God has some great plans for your life in the coming year. And that is the message of this particular verse. At least that's the way it's often portrayed to us anyway. But sometimes we take the verse out of context and we don't really listen to what God has to say. My intent this evening is to give you some spiritual insight into the story behind the verse. Oftentimes, preachers are guilty of using Scripture out of context. But there is a story behind every Scripture that needs to be told, because God put it in His book to lift us up. And so, if you go to verse 10, it says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now, if you read verse 10, it kind of changes verse 11, doesn't it? He said, I want you to understand, sometimes you're going to go through a valley. And sometimes it ain't going to always be sweet. He said it's going to be 70 years before you get the blessing that I'm telling you about. But that doesn't mean it ain't coming. It just means you need to hold on. I don't know what's going to happen in the near future, but I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold on to the hand that has not changed since the very beginning. I'll hold on to the hand that has come down to me in the times of my distress. I want to hold on to the hand that's walked me through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. You prepare for me a table in the presence of mine enemies. And surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Woo! Hallelujah. Makes you feel like dancing. I'm so glad I go to a community church because we're allowed to dance. Amen. But don't you get so excited every now and then when you know that Jesus has got the devil on the run and that he's not as strong as he said he was, that there is something that's moving down on the inside that cannot be contained while there's a stirring. God said, I looked down in the valley of dry bones. He said, can these bones live again? He said, thou knowest. He said, prophesy. Prophesy to the east and the west and the north and the south, but let them know it comes from every direction. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You see, when God hits you in every direction, you know it's God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you smile a little bit. Pretend like you've been saved more than a half an hour. Here is this beautiful, beautiful promise. When we read the bad news in Jeremiah 29:10, he says, it's going to take 70 years to get her done. How many of you, you know, here lately though, when I was a younger man and I thought about the coming of the Lord, I thought, my, that's scary. That God one day is going to sound the trumpets and he's going to come. How frightening that is. But I got smarter instead of older. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then they told the story again that the Lord is coming back, and now instead of being frightened, I'm looking. Now I've been walking with him a while, and the journey has gotten sweeter all the time. And now when they tell the story about the coming of the Lord, I'm not afraid at all. I'm finding myself being like John. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come Lord, I'm ready. I've had enough of this glory stuff that I don't want to quit, Lord. I just got to thinking about Enoch one day. He was walking with God, and God and him was walking along having a good, have you ever had a day like that where God was with you every step of the way? I can just see Enoch walking along saying, hey, God, that's a really grand tree that you made over here. I really like it. And God, that brook over there is really, really special. And I just want to tell you how much I love what you've made. And then about that time, God said, Enoch, I don't want you to go home tonight. He said, why don't you come up here and spend your eternity with me? And Enoch said, and he was not, for God took him. Do you ever think that maybe we could walk with God in such a way? You know what? There was a time when this ain't in the message. But the Apostle Paul had gotten awful close to Jesus. And he was preaching the gospel and they decided to take his life. And they stoned him and they took him outside and dumped him, said he's going to die. And God said, no, he ain't. He said, Paul, come on up here to the third heaven, let you and I chat a while. And he showed him some things and he said, now I don't want you to tell, when you get back, I don't want you to tell him everything you've seen. Their little hearts would break. They couldn't take it. And then you notice there's a change in that boy. He said, now, he said, I'm between a strait. I don't know whether it's better to go or to stay. I've got one foot in heaven and I've got one foot here. He said, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Hallelujah. You are a grand people indeed, for you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and death is defeated in you. Lift up your heads and rejoice, because God's got you. Sometimes when we get that good news and he said it's going to be a little while, we get a little aggravated. But then again, we can earn some things from God. It's an incredible promise. It remains a promise with great overcoming power in our lives.
And the promise is still true, but it is a promise that isn't always fulfilled right now. I don't know when the Lord is coming back. People say it's going to be September the 23rd. Has any of you been watching the internet and television and everything else? Oh, it's big time. Because you see, I don't know if you know this, but on September the 23rd, the sign will be in Virgo, which is the woman. And there's going to be 12 planets that line up as stars in her crown. And so they took the book of Revelation and they said, well, God said to be a sign of the woman in the sky and 12 stars. Jesus must be coming back September the 23rd. These are very smart men. The only problem with that is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who was here in the very beginning, and nothing in the world was made without Him, said, not even the Son knows the day, but only my Father, which is in heaven. And they said, well, preacher, you have to get ready. I am ready. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I have had the chains broken. I have been set free. And if the trumpet sounds, I believe I can fly. Amen. Let me tell you something. One time, whether you believe this or not, don't make any difference to me because I'm only here today and then I'm gone. But I laid down to go to bed and my wife and I had just finished praying and I was loving the Lord. And I laid down there and about that time, the whole entire roof of our house disappeared. And I saw the stars, and I felt my body rising. And I said, oh, it's the rapture. Now, I got to tell you, it was just a vision. And I was disappointed, but not as bad as my wife. Oh, before you go in the wrong direction, let me help you. She grabbed a hold of my arms and she said, I see it too, and you will not go without me. I'm going. At that moment of time, God gave me a vision. He gave Jill a vision to let us know in God's television that that was possible for us to understand that everything that He put in His book is true. One of these days, the trumpet will sound. One of these days, gravity will let loose. One of these days, we're going to see Him face to face. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Somewhere along the line, I need to get into this message. Sometimes you need to testify just a little bit. Amen. God does wonderful things. Sometimes He does wonderful things you don't even know about. We're having another prayers for healing service at our church in the first Sunday in October. You have church here, so I'm not expecting any of you. But the last one we had, before it was over, I had oil dripping off of my elbow. So many people came. Now, I know some of you say, well, I think that only happens at Benny Hinn and Pentecostal churches. It happens in every child of God who believes that God is who He said He is, that Jesus is the Christ, and the Holy Ghost of God still has power to touch His children. We had a prayers for healing service. This lady came up, she was anointed, and off she went. I didn't even know who she was, didn't know what happened. Like I said, just praying for people. I had to do a funeral about 2 weeks later, and this woman kept staring at me, making me schizophrenic paranoid. Does anybody ever stare at you? And they don't say nothing? And you feel like you ought to say something? Like, hey, lighten up. You know, something. None of you? Well, she was driving me crazy. I had to do a funeral in a few moments and she kept staring at me. She says, you don't know who I am, do you? I said, ma'am, I want you to know I have no idea who you are. She said, I was at your church during the prayers of healing service. I said, it was a grand service, wasn't it? She said, oh, yes, it was. I mean, really, that's about all I could say. She said, you don't get it, do you, preacher? I said, honey, I don't. I don't know who you are, and I don't even remember you being there. I hate saying that. Most of the time when I meet somebody, I say, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You're Egner's boy. She said, I came. She said, I'd lost the sight in one eye, was losing the sight in the other. And now I have perfect sight in both eyes. No wonder she was looking at me. Hey, well, I got excited. I got really, did you ever have something God does and you just can't keep it down? You know what was the old prophet said? I would forbear, but I could not forbear, for it is shut up in my bones. I got to tell somebody. Well, I was at a funeral. It didn't make a bit of difference. When she told me, I went right up the aisle. Praising God. People were saying, oh, he must have been a good God, a child of God. I have no idea. I wasn't even preaching for him. I was preaching because God had done something. Somebody said, well, that must have been a powerful situation then. Let me tell you something. If any of you ever think that Lucien Baker has any power, I can not only deny it, I can prove it. That woman came, and I didn't know her. That woman was healed, and I didn't see it. That woman had a testimony, I never heard it. Until 2 weeks later, when God said, I did it, I did it, and you had nothing to do with it. Amen. You know, people are always talking about how much power they have. Well, I don't have any, but I know somebody. Amen. I don't have any, but I know somebody. I know somebody who can speak to the water, and the water rolls back. I know somebody who can tell the lion, hey, my child is running by here. Don't say anything. And then the Bible said, if the stones could cry out, I tell you, I believe they'd have a testimony, don't you? They'd say, yeah, I was there laying in a brook when David come by, and he reached down and grabbed a hold of me. I got to tell somebody, David took a rock and made it a bird. Amen. That ought to thrill some of you. No? Sometimes God moves in ways that we don't understand. But the purpose of the verse is to give us hope in the midst of an uncertain future. I believe he's still our God. Amen. Just reach over to somebody next to you and say, he's still our God. Go ahead. And while you're at it, just say, and we're still his people. Amen. And he's still blessing me. That was too many? Because y'all missed the last one. He's still blessing me. And he still has plans for our future. I got to tell you something. But we ought to be praising God to the very end. Amen. Amen. There was a comedian one time. He said, listen, he said, I think I've got this rapture thing figured out. He said, because I'm an evangelist. And they said, what does that mean? He said, well, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to grab a hold of two sinners. And as I go flying, I'll say, repent or I let go. You got to do what's necessary, kids. Let's take a bunch with us. Amen. We had a revival. Your pastor got a chance to preach in it. And I got to tell you something. I love to hear this man preach. I really do. I truly, truly, truly do. And I was so excited about him coming down for the revival. But I don't know if y'all know this or not, but let me just tell you that during that week, 10 people were saved. The revival began to catch on. Other preachers started talking about the Feast of the Eighth Day. And before the week was over, between three churches, 32 people had given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody said, well, that doesn't happen anymore. Let me tell you something. As long as God is on the throne, there is enough power. Let me tell you something. He's still on the mercy seat. Amen. We ought to be telling people that he's coming soon. You ought to get ready. Get on board. He's a coming. Jeremiah was the prophet God had sent to Israel during this time, and there were other prophets, but many of them were false prophets. Jeremiah was the prophet God sent to Israel during this time, and there were other prophets, but they weren't so good. For a period of about 23 years, Jeremiah had bringing the word of the Lord to anybody that would listen, and for the most part, Jeremiah's message was ignored. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people didn't listen to him. Have you noticed a lot of people don't listen to you either? Huh? They just don't. You try to talk to them. Sometimes it's your own family, amen? You talk to them and they say, well, is that all you have to say? Look at them and say, yes. It might be that they'll come home. Finally, God said, if you don't listen to Jeremiah, I'm going to send Babylon down to destroy you and take you captive. The people didn't believe or even accept the concept that God would do such a thing. Belief, by the way, is a choice. By the way, joy is a choice too. Joy doesn't come knocking on your door saying, let me in. Sometimes you have to choose joy in spite of circumstance. Amen? I mean, if you're down here any length of time, there's some bad things coming your way. That's all there is to it. But God is always close by. He's a very present friend in the time of trouble. I believe that. So these people began to ignore God and ignore the man of God. But that doesn't mean that things ain't going to happen exactly the way that God said it was. And today, just about everybody is talking about the second coming of the Lord. Have you noticed it? It doesn't matter where you're working at. Somebody is talking about the Lord and about the fact, does this mean he's coming? I don't know. Well, you know, listen, if you listen to the politicians, they're not very much help, are they? When the hurricane hit down in Texas, They made a big report in the news about the fact that the president's wife had high heels. Oh, yes, it was a major debacle. She had stiletto heels when she walked out of the White House. Didn't occur to them that she had other shoes on the plane, tennis shoes. And when she got off the plane, she was in her tennis shoes. They didn't report that. The only thing that they reported, and then, of course, they reported about every church that's done bad since the beginning of time. That made the news. When you listen to what's going on by the news media, why, most of us has been twice dead and plucked up by the roots a long time ago. But I believe that God is still in charge of things. I don't know whether or not every one of those, and then they said, well, this is all due to global warming, and somebody else made some cash. And then they said, well, the problem is only the white people are getting away with stuff. The black people, they're in trouble. And then you see all these people down in Texas. It was the black man that's pulling out the Hispanic, and the Hispanic is pulling out the white guy, and the white guy is pulling out the black guy. And it's a bunch of people that realize that we're all equal in the eyes of God, and everyone is in trouble, and they reach out. But where's the media? The media doesn't report on any of that stuff because there ain't no money in it. As long as they can keep us divided, they can think they're doing well. So we look and we say, Lord, how long? Oh, God, how long? In the end, God's word will stand above all else. Do you believe that? Jeremiah preached for 2.5 decades without any result. And the people ignored his words. After giving Israel every opportunity to repent, God allowed Babylon to come. Now their lives had been taken from them, and they were ready to listen. And people today are being readied for the word. God doesn't do anything in a corner. He does it out there for the whole world to see. Amen? And let me tell you something. It is so true. You know, the Bible says, it says you see war, and rumors of war. You all sing that, right? And it's been a prophecy, and it says that they, you know, that there would be famines and earthquakes and pestilence, all these things. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. The beginning of sorrow. And I got to tell you something. We don't have to wait any longer. We are in the age of sorrow. Amen. We're in the age of sorrow. We are in the age of Babylonian captivity. We are, whether we know it or not. We think we're free, but we are not so free. Next time you get your tax bill, you know I'm telling the truth. But then he said something else. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the way that reads, when you see the abomination that maketh desolate spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Well, today we have men that are supposed to be preachers who will not preach about salvation. They've taken the altars out of the church, and they say we must not offend anybody else. So we will not speak about homosexuality. We will not speak about cohabitation outside of marriage because it's bound to offend somebody. We won't say anything that might hurt somebody's feelings. And let me tell you something. I want you to understand God's not behind that. Not at all. God wants the truth to be spoken. But where is it coming from? It's coming from the pulpits. And they've made the pulpit of God and a abomination that maketh desolate. The pulpits need to thunder, repent, be born again, accept Jesus, for it is the only way. No. We don't want to talk about that kind of stuff because it offends people. I got to tell you something. I have been an offense to many. Here lately, you know, all of my sermons go out every Sunday all over the place, and the guy that puts them all out, he says, you know what? He says, I put this out on Tuesday, and by Friday, 600, 700, 800, 900 people have seen your sermon. I got to tell you something. I've got some really strange mail from some that have seen my sermons. One said, if I was you, I'd be a little bit more scared. I don't see why I could be any more scared. I'm scared to offend God. That's pretty scared. I have a fear of the Lord. Is that what they're talking? I don't think so. Matter of fact, we have a policeman in our church, and he says, I strategically place myself every week, Pastor, to be as much protection as possible with some of the things that you say. But then he said, he said this, he said, but now, he said, I want you to know, he says, I think, and there's another policeman, we got two, and he said, the first few shots will be towards you. I'm thinking, I'm taking all this in, but it's not blessing me. I got to tell you that right now. He said, because you probably be the reason that they came in the first place. And he said, but it puts us in a good position to take him out. I said, when? You know, because I was thinking at this time, maybe, how about somebody else? Here lately, I've been noticing my associate pastor needs to preach more often. I believe the church has to tell the truth. No matter who it offends. And I got to tell you, there are times that I've lost people because I could not back down. It's not because of the fact that I don't love everybody. I do. Somebody said, well, you hate homosexuals. No, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. I have no difference between a homosexual and a thief. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter. But you say, but you mustn't say anything like that because it offends people. So I say to the thief, good luck. I mean, people talk about this stuff. They say, well, I don't want to become a Christian because if I become a Christian, I have to quit lying. Oh, yeah, that stopped me. Oh, man. Can you imagine? I don't want to become a Christian because if I become a Christian, I cannot swear. I must increase my vocabulary. I mean, really, can you imagine? I don't want to go to heaven because I want to cuss. I got to tell you, and they think that we are stupid. I think we should be fair. That's some stupid people. Just stupid. I know you're not supposed to say stupid. Well, perhaps dumber than a bucket of rocks kicked over. I don't want to become a Christian, for if I become a Christian, I have to be true to my wife. I've been trying my very best to figure out what I had to give up when I became a child of God. I had to give up hell. I had to give up going to bed at night afraid because I didn't know what was going to happen. When I became a Christian, I gave up nothing, but I gained everything. And now my heart is full. I got to tell you, when I was going to school, and I know I've told you this, and I don't really care, I went to see every professor about everything. I took anatomy, physiology, microbiology. If there's an ology, I took it. But I was still empty. I went to all the professors, and they tried to fill my mind with knowledge. And I sucked it in as best I could, but there came a day when I realized that all the knowledge that I had gained, I was still empty. And I went to an old-fashioned church where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned ways. They started preaching an old-fashioned gospel. And right in the middle of that, and I got to tell you something, I really didn't want to be there that Sunday either. My father was preaching, and you all know him. Sometimes he'd get happy. He's not like me. He'd jump up and down. Lester, don't you laugh, because that used to be the hallmark that you had. And I'm sitting in the very back, but we had, I'm pretty sure, somewhere between 10 and 12 people in the very back, all of us sinners gathered together. And the more you have, the stronger you are. We were in the very back. He was preaching and jumping up and down, and I'm thinking, all of my friends are seeing my father act like that. But right in the middle of the sermon, my father's voice went away. Somebody else began to speak. In the middle of the sermon, he said, "Are you still empty, Lucian?" I said, "Oh, yes, Lord, I'm still empty." He said, "Why don't you come?" I didn't wait for anybody. I got up out of my seat. I went to the altar, bowed down before God and said, "I'm empty. I need a Savior." I got up from that place. I looked around. My wife got saved that day. All of the sinners back there, they were all up here. God wiped out the whole bunch of us that day. Said, "I am greater than all of you put together, and all of you put together are empty and lost and hellbound. But today, today, all things change." Sister Wilson came up and gave me a hug, and she said, "I always thought you was a snot." I got to tell you, I miss Sister Wilson. I'd like to rent her for my church. That woman could shout at a sneeze. You know, I didn't get to the real meat of this message, which is not uncommon for me. I have good intentions whenever I start. And people tell me all the time, they say, "You know what, preacher, you'd be so much better if you could stay with the subject." Hello. How many of you know I've been talking about Jesus since I got up here? No. So we can't take notes from you because you don't stay on your notes. Yes, I do. When I knelt the blood. That's every note I need. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me I don't stay on my notes. Hananiah was a false prophet. He said, let me tell you something. He said, that Jeremiah's message is false. The Lord has spoken to me, and within 2 years, God is going to restore everything that Babylon has taken. But guess what? God came to Jeremiah and said, go tell Hananiah that within 2 days, he's going to be dead. God don't fool around. Sometimes you have to stay with the truth no matter what it costs you. But God is good. Amen. God is good. He cares about us. He cares about us, and God answers prayer. Even when you think, perhaps, maybe God doesn't hear us. That same preacher tells a story, and his name is Ed Blues. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Do you know if he is? When I was younger, I wanted to be him. Such a preacher. He said one day they were having a revival down in, I believe it was Tennessee, and they were praying for souls to be saved. Like that Sunday when God wiped us all out. Well, at least he wiped out our sin. And he left us clean. They were praying, and this old woman, she came into the church. And they were getting ready. They're taking prayer requests. And you know how sometimes in revival you wax eloquent. And she said, Pastor, I'm going to pray until my son gets saved. Seems odd, I think, to say such a thing. But she started praying. Don't you hate it when people really mean what they say? You know, because we're all good for about, 2-3 minutes. Then the knees begin to ache and our back gets stiff, and she was still down there after 15 minutes. And the people began to stand up one by one all over the congregation. She's still down there, still praying. After 45 minutes, they were getting a little suspicious. She was still, but then she moved. Everybody was beginning to breathe a sigh of relief. The only thing that she did was stand up enough she could lay her whole entire body on the altar. And she began to cry out even the more, God, save my son. Save my son. And now it's an hour later, and the preacher looked at Ed Ballou and said, you think I should go tell her to stop? He said, you can touch her if you want to, but I won't. She kept praying. She said, what are we going to do? She says, we're going to wait. A few minutes later, this boy walked in the back, had his hat in his hand, he's just wringing it, had his bibbed overalls on. He come up and he got up by his mom. He said, Mama, you can get up now. I was out in the field and I heard you praying, and down beside the tractor I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mama, why don't you get up now? I'm all right. I'm all right. Let me tell you something. Our God hears us when we pray. Our God knows when we're hurting. Our God knows when we need a touch. Our God knows that we can't be alone very long because this world would overcome us. But you are not alone. You are not alone. Praise God, you are not alone. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you in the first trouble, in the second trouble, and when it gets so bad you can't hardly stand it, look for me. I'll be in the midst. I'll be in the midst.
Well, I got to tell you, my little machine went off, which means that since I started preaching, I put 8,000 steps on. And I must be preaching pretty good, because this one says there is a low predicted. They don't know me just yet. I don't have a low. Amen. I put it on, fry, and go on. Amen.
I'm telling you what, I should not be here. Most of you know my history. I had pancreatic cancer. I went to see my doctor, and I think I told you, that him and his wife rededicated the heart in my church, my surgeon. Yeah. He come one Sunday for Pastor Appreciation Day, and I heard his voice. I said, I don't even know who that is. Again, let me just point out that I don't do nothing, but I'm in the place where everything is being done. Amen. Being a child of God is great. Yes. Amen.
Yes,
say that to one another. Being a child of God is great.
Yes.
Say, it makes me happy.
Yes.
Yippee. Yes. I knew that was too much. I went to see him the other day. And, you know, he is the head surgeon for Ohio State University. He is Professor Emeritus, or I don't know what they call him. But it's pretty impressive. And, of course, you know, if I'm going to have surgery, I want the best. So he comes in, he says, oh, there's my hero. And I'm thinking, how in the world could you say something like that when you did such a great job restoring me? And he looked at me and he said, you know what, preacher? He said, you should not have lived. You had metastatic CA of the pancreas. And he said, but here you are. And he said, I want to tell you something today. I said, what that? He said, you don't need to come back anymore. He said, you are totally and completely cured.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Let me tell you something. Right after that surgery, 4 months later, I had to have open heart surgery. Man, I'll tell you what, if you're going to go, you might as well get as much in as you can. Amen? Well, that was when you were down in the other revival. Jerry came down and killed me. That's when they told me he's not going to live through the night. I got to tell you, I don't know how long I have left. I've been trying to get a young preacher to come to my church and take over for me because I'm old. But I got to tell you, it's hard to get a young preacher. They all want to preach, but nobody wants to pastor. And there's a world of difference between the two. You say, well, what happens if your church finds out about it? I'm hoping they'll give me a raise. Amen. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right.
They giving you anything? Are they giving you anything here,
yeah,
now?
Yeah,
are they?
You can go ahead. And
you get a gas allowance?
Yeah.
You do get a gas car allowance?
Yeah, no, gas allowance.
You don't have a car allowance?
No.
Why, you bunch of backslidden hypocrites. The preacher is worthy of his hire.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what. I've been asking our church for a Mercedes. And I got to tell you something. One person brought in a Mercedes, but it was metal. And it was this big. He said, here, preacher, is your Mercedes. I got to tell you something. I'm a man of faith. I'd look at it and I said, my name is Jesse Duplantis. And I went outside and I buried it as a seed offering. That was 5 years ago. I can't even find it now. Oh, somebody's probably mad at me because I mentioned somebody's name by mistake. I'm only here tonight and then I'm gone. And the last time I preached for Lester, I was on a 7-year rotation. That's what I told him anyway. I don't know if he bought it. Did I ever tell you that Lester was preaching and scared my wife half to death? And soon after that, she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ because she was pretty sure that Jesus was coming back the week after he preached. Oh, by the way, Lester was preaching when my son got saved. Lester was preaching when my daughter got saved. Lester was preaching when my other daughter got saved. So I kind of like the man. Because I want to tell you something, Lester. I don't know if you know this, but my son is a deacon in our church. My daughter is the youth leader. My other daughter sings with me. It's been a few years since then, Lester, but all three of them are still in the house of God. Oh, by the way, so are all their children. Amen. I was going to throw that out because sometimes it's good to hear that what we do goes deep. Well, I need to finish now because I can see some of you have already finished. The false prophet came and he said, don't listen. But let me tell you something. The word of God will stand when the world is on fire. You need him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The world truly is rocking and reeling, and we do not know what's going to happen. Israel is surrounded by armies, and now Gog and Magog is in Persia or Iran and making threatening towards Israel, and Israel said, we will not bow. We'll not capitulate. If it is war you want, war it will be. That's Israel. Any one of those things that I mentioned tonight could cause a world war. All of that is true. But lift up your heads. Because I don't know what the world has in store. But I know what God has in store. God said, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of great temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So lift up your heads. If you're a child of God, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than victorious. I want you to understand the world and all of its machinations, the world and all of its sorrow, the world and all of its struggle has nothing to do with a child of God who will one day say, hello, Lord. I've been waiting. I like that. Amen. And we're going to rise. I don't know when that is. One of these days. I don't even, you know, it could be today, tomorrow, September the 23rd, when the sign is in Virgo, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will lead the stars. This is the what in the world? Believe God and let every man be a liar. One of these days, don't know when it is, God is going to look over to the sun and say, boy, do you see that cloud? I have held that cloud for a long time, but I hear the sound down there of war. I see hear the sound of abomination. Son, step out on the cloud. Listen, Gabriel, grab a hold of your horn, boy, and blow us a tune. Let the sound go forth. Michael, shout, boy, shout. And then we're going to leave, amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first, because they got 6 foot further to go than we do. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet him in the air. Rejoice! And again I say, rejoice. Don't know where you are spiritually tonight, but if you want to come, why, there's been enough songs and preaching and majesty of the Lord demonstrated here tonight to save the world if the world wants to be saved. But it's up to you. It's up to you. Who's singing for this? Are they singing? Then move it. I got to tell you that I really don't know what to say or do to make a person give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know somebody. Somebody who can speak and let you know that no greater love hath any man than he'd be willing to lay down his life for his friends. And then he looked at all of us and he said, you there are my friend. And you are my friend. And you are my friend. And you are my friend. You all are my friends, and I love you so that I spread out my arms and I wrote it on my hands and my feet how much I loved you.
Yeah. Amen.
I am scarred for you.
That's right.
But I wonder this evening, would you acknowledge the reason that he came? You see, I cannot preach to you other than to say, come now. And let Jesus deal with you.